Boogie and Eileen with us today after their morning show, and they're just going to speak to us a little bit about living in Edinburgh and how they spend their time when they're not shouting at each other in a small room. Boogie and Eileen, this is a question for both of you actually. After all this time of working together, what would you say is each other's favourite thing about living in Edinburgh? Could you guess right, do you think?
You go first.
Or will I go first?
Yeah.
I think you love living in Edinburgh because it's quite cultured. Because he's from Hoyk.
Yeah.
And not saying anything about Hoyk, but there's not a lot to do in Hoyk. So I think you love the stuff that's on. You love the mix that Edinburgh has to offer, you know, and you love living in the city centre.
Yeah, I do. I love them. I like living in a city. I like being in amongst it all. I've lived out in the sticks before, and I lived in sort of towns outside Edinburgh, and Dalgety Bay and places like that. I lived up in Aberdeen. And when you're out of town, you just feel like you're missing out a little bit. I don't know, it's weird. I live quite central in Edinburgh, so it's easy for me to get to the Fringe, and it's easy for me to get to the Usher Hall to go and see a show, or it's easy to get to the Playhouse. So yeah, I do like living in Edinburgh. Arlene, on the other hand, doesn't live in Edinburgh. You live in the sticks, so you're the kind of polar opposite. So
I am, yeah.
I would say the thing that you like most about living in Midlothian is that you get to escape from the city at the end of the day, and you get your space. You've got a nice big garden that you can get out in and have a bit of peace and quiet. And, you know, you lie there in the afternoon, don't you, in your hammock.
I do.
With your gin and tonic.
Yeah.
And
sounds like you're speaking about Mexico.
Yeah. No, Edgehead.
Right. Yeah. No, exactly right. We are polar opposites in that sense, in that I'm a farming background from Aberdeen. And I just love the countryside. I love being close enough to Edinburgh so I can get into it easily enough. But I love my space. I feel as though I go on holiday when I go home. And I love village life as well. And we've got a very vibrant village life, and we have a great laugh. So, yeah, it's the best of both worlds, actually.
Eileen.
Yes.
Where was the last most amazing place you had a meal in Edinburgh, and why would you recommend it to somebody?
We tend not to go out that often.
You're quite happy if somebody else pays for it, though, aren't you?
Oh, delighted, yeah. Yes. But probably the most, I've got lots of favourites actually, because I love a good curry, for example, love a good Italian. But if I'm really treating myself and pushing the boat out, Prestonfield House Hotel, Rhubarb.
I love it.
And they do these amazing deals, usually in January, February, £30 for three courses. The food, the service, everything about it is incredible. So as a real treat, I would go there.
Good recommendation. That would be one of mine too, actually.
100%, yeah.
Do you want to chip in there, Boogie? Do you?
I would have said the same. I got married there. Wow. A couple of years ago. Not in Rhubarb, but in the hotel. And it's, you know, you can't beat it in Edinburgh in terms of service and stuff. But for something a little bit more kind of, you know, everyday, got the likes of Vittoria's on Leith Walk, which is great. It's Italian. It's just really simple and straightforward. You've got Britannia Spice, and well, there's the one just opposite the Playhouse as well. What's that called?
Cushy's.
Yeah, Cushy's is lovely. So.
And you can bring your own wine.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
cool.
It's really cheap.
We like this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And together, what would you say would be the best day out in Edinburgh that you'd suggest to friends?
I think if you're a visitor coming to Edinburgh, you have to go to the castle.
Yes.
You have to.
Start at the top.
You get a perspective of the whole city from up there. You can see everything. You know, it's so much history and everything up there. Loads of things. There's so many things to do, especially around about the summertime, you know, when the Fringe is on. I mean, even just like being in Edinburgh when the Fringe is on is just the best thing, isn't it? Just all the shows you can see, the Royal Mile. And then you've got the zoo, and then you've got the shopping, and God, there's so much to do, isn't there?
I think the thing that if we have friends coming to Edinburgh and they haven't been before and they don't know the city well, and we too tend to do this when we go on a city tour, is book an open top bus tour or a bus tour, mm-hmm. because it's a little bit of an outlay, but it lets you see the entire city and all the places of interest, and then you can hop off and on wherever you want to go. And the other thing that we usually do is like a witch tour or a ghost tour, because they're great fun, and if you do a late one, you can go to the pub first, so it makes it really quite entertaining.
It's quite spooky at night in Edinburgh, isn't
it's
it?
It's not the kind of spirits that Arlene's interested in, is it?
Maid of King's Close is also a really good
one
as well.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, but I say there's so much, isn't there?
Yeah.
Do you know any secret places?
My favourite secret place, I'll tell you where's a great place to go, and it's not really much of a secret, but down Crammond. The beach at Crammond, where I've got two dogs, and we quite often walk them down there. and it's, you know, the views over the Forth and towards the bridges and stuff like that, it's great. And you can get right out on the beach if the tide's out. You get the dogs love to run on the sand and stuff like that.
Probably sit around Stockbridge. I think it's just such a great, buzzing, vibey little place. I think it's really good to go and hang out there, and it's got everything you need.
So is something new opening up in Stockbridge, yeah, isn't there? Or something that's been there for ages that you've just never seen before?
What's that cat place you're going to go to?
Oh, yeah.
Cat,
oh,
cafe?
Cat cafe. Yeah, I need to organise that because I'm a cat person. I love cats. And they said, well, why don't you come down? And they sent me their website link of all these pussy cats. Oh, they're so sweet. It's so cute.
It's just weird.
Yeah. No, it's not.
It is. It's not weird.
More than one cat when you have your cup of tea is a bit strange, isn't it? But cuddly.
Having a bit of carrot cake while a cat coughs up a hairball. Quite interesting.
Charming. Yeah. Well, that's a few recommendations from Boogie and Arlene if you have people coming to visit. Boogie, the last time we spoke, it hadn't been long since you'd moved into your new home and you'd started a bit of DIY. You'd done the floors and you were planning on making the downstairs bathroom and toilet into one room.
Yeah.
Did you get that done?
Not yet. No.
Well, that's the end of that question then.
The floors are done. My house that I bought is, I think it was 1930s, so it's not the oldest house in Edinburgh, but it's not the newest either. And so the first thing with the carpets were terrible, but we wanted a wooden floor anyway. So my friend who's a joiner did that. And we also got the decking done outside and little things that you never think of, like our chimneys. One of our chimneys was just about falling down, so we had to get that reduced in height.
Is that something you knew about before you moved in, or was it one of those surprises?
I wouldn't say it was a surprise. It's just because it happens with any house. Yeah. You buy a house, and eventually somebody comes along. It was actually the guy who was coming to fix my roof, and he's a mate of mine, and he came around to fix a few slates on the roof. I think after a storm, it was just one or two slates, nothing bad. And he said, "Oh yeah, you got to look at that chimney." And, you know, I could just hear the money come flying out of my bank account. So I've got that. I still want to do the room. I still want to get some new windows as well at the front of the house. So, you know, it's an ongoing thing. But we've only been in for, coming up on 3 years. So, you know, it's work in progress. We'll get there.
Yeah. Eventually. I've been in my house for 20 years and it's still a work in progress.
As long as you've got your hammock and your gin and teas.
Exactly. I'm happy.
Yeah.
Well, Arlene, the last time I chatted with Boogie, he was talking all about his man cave. It was definitely the first room of the house to get completed. Other than your hammock outside, where is your space or your favourite room in the house?
Well, it's, again, we're different because Boogie has his man cave. If they have children, that will go.
Kids cave,
yes. We don't have a man cave or a kids cave or anything like that in our house because we have two kids. So and this is really sad, but you know, my favourite room in the house is my own bedroom.
I knew you were going to say that.
Why?
Because you're like a hibernating.
In the winter, I'm terrible. I hate the dark and I hate drab.
You get
weather.
Sad, don't you?
I do get sad. Yeah, I do.
Seasonal affective disorder.
Yeah, I just get grumpy.
Yeah.
And so I bought a new. We've got a really big bed, super king size bed, so that Kenny and I can sleep as if we're in different countries. And I bought a mattress topper. You know, one of these mattress toppers, and it's just the best thing I've ever done.
Just upgrades your bed that much more, doesn't it?
And because we get up so early in the morning, 4 o'clock, I go to bed about, well, I start thinking about going to bed in the winter about 4 in the afternoon, and by about 8 I'm there
sleeping.
And I just relax but it has to be a freshly made bed. It's got to be made and beautifully
spritzed.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And then I'm blissfully happy. So that's my favorite
sounds
room.
Ideal. Well, we'll have to interview Boogie in a few years' time. Yeah, yeah. See how that comes along.
Yeah.
You'll be hiding out in the downstairs bathroom. So what would you be your top 3 tips each for those looking to buy a property for the first time?
It's the age-old thing, but it's location, location, location. If you've got a budget, you know, work out what your budget is. Work out how much it's going to cost you a month in your mortgage. And live within that. Don't stretch yourself too much. And I would say buy the worst property in the best street you can, as opposed to buying the best property you can in a area which maybe isn't so nice. Because the area that you can change your house, but you can't change your area. Yeah. So I would say that.
That's good advice from you.
Very
I can be quite sensible at times, really.
I absolutely agree. And if you're looking for a house, it doesn't matter where it is, as long as you find the right location, see past all the bad decoration and the rubbish kitchen and the bathroom that's falling to bits. Those are things that you can do as your new family, as your new home over the years, and take your time with it. Get to know the house, and you know it will show you what it needs over a period of time. So I absolutely agree with Boogie, which doesn't happen often.
No, and get things done properly. Get a plumber.
Yeah.
Because if you do it yourself, you'll end up doing it yourself again and again and again and again. You get a plumber once, it'll be cost you more expensive. It'll be more expensive, but it'll get done right.
Like, what would you say to people who are thinking about moving into a pre-owned kind of older building as opposed to a new build?
Well, I could probably do that because I've lived in both. And what's interesting about older buildings is that it doesn't matter if you buy it and the surveys suggest that everything is sound. There will be something that needs work or replaced or maintained. It's just the nature of the beast. But don't let that put you off, because an old build, you will also have some incredible character features, and these things are worth their weight in gold. So if you're prepared to make sacrifice and know that you're going to have to replace the windows at some point, maybe, you know, check for dry rot and all of that, it's definitely worth the sacrifice if you want a bit of character in your building. But maintenance is vitally important. Don't expect to move in and then not have to do anything.
That's why you've got to keep within your budgets as well. Because, you know, you spend all your money on your mortgage, you've got nothing left to
fix up.
To fix.
We had to replace all of our windows. And because we're in a historic building, that it has to fit within their parameters. So it had to be wood, it had to be sash, and it had to still be single glazed, which annoys me because the whole environmental thing. But for our windows, and we got a really good deal, £26,000.
Wow. It is really expensive. That's one of the things that puts me off looking at older builds. Because.
But you live in a 9-storey house.
Yeah, it's a castle. Yeah. So, you know, no, it's not. But yeah.
This is why you stay in your bed.
Yeah, exactly. Can't afford to go out.
Can't afford to put the heating on. The heating just goes out the single glazing, doesn't it?
But it is, and that's something to think about, you know. Old buildings are great, but they need love.
Eileen, can you tell us a bit about your property buying, selling process?
Well, we very cleverly bought a flat in Aberdeen when my husband and I both lived and worked, and we got a fantastic flat. And it was that whole thing, that it was in a perfect area in the west end of Aberdeen. And it was the smallest flat in the whole street. And an older lady had lived in it, and it was an absolute tip. It wasn't very pleasant. But we went in and we recognised that all of the cornice work, stained glass windows, it was just a beautiful flat, and we bought it at a really good price. What's interesting, and maybe it's changed now, but she loved the fact that we were so passionate about this flat, and so we came to an agreement through the estate agents and we bought the flat, and we did it up. It was great. But when we decided to move, because in Aberdeen at that time the prices were then going up, we very wisely bought at that time, and when we sold, we made quite a big profit in the 3 years we'd owned it. So we ploughed that into our next property, and I think if you can pay as big a deposit as you can, that will help you down the line. And again, similarly, we found this house just in Midlothian that we absolutely fell in love with. And we did push the boat out, actually, maybe a little more than we should have done, and put our profit from our flat into it and sold everything we owned to buy this house. And it's great. It's taken us years to do up, but it's our home and we love it.
Amazing places not far, you know. You go to Lauder or out to West Lothian, some lovely places. Yeah. East Lothian, I mean, places like, you know, Haddington, and lovely little towns like
Well,
Haddington.
They're matching Edinburgh prices now, yeah.
North
really.
Berwick,
East
Lothian,
so North Berwick, really up through. Yeah, North Berwick is like.
But just to look around and just see, because if you don't want to compromise on space, if you've got a growing family, then maybe it is best to consider a longer commute, maybe.
And also, it depends where you are and what stage of life you're in. Things change and things move on, you know, and you might have family, or you might split up from your partner, and your priorities change. So it's just to keep an open mind and, you know, have a good look around. Just get in the car one day and just drive around the whole area. See what takes your fancy, see what feels right, and then look in that area.
I did that with Amy. We drove around and
Have you used ESPC then?
I have. When I moved from Aberdeen to Edinburgh in 2001, the first site, it was quite early days of the internet. We still, you know, it was up and running and everything by then, but one of the first sites I went on to, I used it for buying my house in Dalgety Bay. I then used it for buying my flat in Edinburgh when I moved out of Dalgety Bay, and then when I moved to My current house, I used it then as well. I think it's the first website you go to. Mm. If you're looking for a house in Edinburgh, you type in ESPC, and the website's great. You can type in the areas, what you're looking for, bedrooms, blah, blah. I mean, this is just from memory, but, you know, type in how many bedrooms you want, what your budget is, areas you're interested in, and it'll just filter them down and tell you what's there. So it's a good starting point. I use it. Use it all the time.
Recommend anyone do anything other than go to ESPC.
And do you think there's a kind of an extended recommendation to use a solicitor-based portal such as ESPC as opposed to maybe the bigger faceless portal?
I think when I was selling my house, I went to the solicitor who was going to be selling it. And it is one of the first questions I asked is, are you on ESPC? You know, bearing in mind how much I'd used it before. Because when you're selling a house, you want to make sure that as many people see it as possible. And so, yeah, he was with the ESPC, and so we, you know, it genuinely was. I'm not just saying it because you're here. But it genuinely was a consideration of mine. And if they'd said that they weren't on ESPC and maybe on one of the sort of bigger national ones that you hear about, I would have maybe thought, okay. And likewise, if it had just been a limited local one where, you know, you have to actually look for that solicitor to see what properties they've got. Whereas if you go to ESPC, you've got everybody.
All. Yeah. Brilliant. So. All you need is ESPC.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to add? We're just talking today about why Edinburgh and generally East Central Scotland is quite a great place to live, and I think we've spoken extensively about
it's
that.
It is the best place to live in the UK, Edinburgh, because, you know, it's got everything the big city has. It's beautiful. You've got the infrastructure. You've got the airport and the train station. You can get to London in 4 hours in the train. You can fly to America, you can fly to the Middle East, you can go to Australia just one stop, you know. It's just, you go to a massive city like London or even Manchester or Birmingham and it's
too big.
Big, you know, and you don't know anybody in Edinburgh.
And it has a feel.
Two
examples of that. We spoke to someone this morning who has moved up from London with her husband, who's now working in Edinburgh. And within 5 minutes, she felt at home here. She loved the city. I mean, it's small compared to what she's used to, but she loved the whole buzz of the city and the feel of it. And I think that's what Edinburgh has. And the other example is we had someone who was over from Paris, and she had neither been to Edinburgh or Glasgow before. And she was staying for 4 days in Glasgow and came through for half an hour to Edinburgh because she came into Waverley and then was going somewhere else, and she fell in love as soon as she stepped out, saw the castle, Princes Street Gardens, and just this feel for the city, and she just fell in love. So she's booked another holiday to come back to spend her time in Edinburgh. So I just think it's a feel for the place. I love it. It's home.
Yeah, you have an Edinburgh moment. I remember one time we did the Jingle Ball at City Nightclub and it finished at 2 o'clock in the morning. This was at Christmas time, and I came down. We just sort of glanced over my shoulder, and it had all the lights and the Christmas tree, and the castle was lit up. And it was like, it's just like, wow, this is where we live.
It takes your breath away constantly, doesn't it?
And there's no many places. I've been in a lot of cities in the world, and there's no many that have that effect on you.